God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hello, thanks for tuning into this episode of Mission Control. My name is Amanda Levy, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. Joining us today, we have David Hasker, who is the worship pastor here at First Baptist Melbourne. He's been a big supporter of this podcast and pretty early on joked with me that he couldn't wait to get behind the microphone. So I thought it was only fitting to give him a chance before the end of the year. I've had the absolute privilege to work with David and be under his leadership in the music ministry for the last 8 years. His strong leadership and talent for music is unquestionable, but his heart and care for those he serves has made a huge difference in my own life. If you haven't ever had the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with David, you're in for a treat with today's episode. In our conversation today, we talk about how God began to use David as a leader in music ministry as early as the third grade, the value of family serving in the church together, and the importance of investing in others for the kingdom's sake. Before we get into it, though, if this podcast has been impactful to you at all, why don't you share it with a friend? And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Okay, let's meet up with David now. We've been starting with a fun space icebreaker.
Love it.
I have a choice for you, though.
Okay.
Do you want to go deep with your icebreaker, or do you want to go surface level fun? I have two options.
I don't get to do them both?
I mean, we can do them both, but you'd have to like
which, okay. I don't know. Fun?
Fun? Okay. If you could embark on a mission to any celestial body in our solar system, where would you go and why?
Oh, that's so easy. Is Jupiter.
It? Why?
I want to see what that big dot is.
The big dot?
Doesn't it have like the big black spot, the big C?
Does it?
Yes.
I know. Wait, now I'm getting all off with my space. Saturn is the one with the rings.
Saturn is the rings. Pluto has been demoted.
Well, but it's still a celestial body.
It is. That's true. It's not a planet.
So it's not planet.
That's right. That's right. No, I just want to go see that big black hole. That big black, officially it's not a black hole, but it would be the big black dot on the scar on Jupiter.
Oh, yeah. I see it. I had to pull it up because my space knowledge is only so good. Right up there. That's not a black hole. Is that
yes.
The same spot?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. I don't know. Maybe we should do
it. So you want to go specifically. Specifically, you want to go to that spot on Jupiter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it's so big.
You've thought
Jupiter
about this
so
thing.
Much bigger than Earth.
How much bigger than Earth is it?
I don't know because I'm not a scientist like that, but I know it's way bigger. You can probably find
it's the fifth planet from the sun and the largest in the solar system.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
It has a gas giant with a mass more than 2.5 times that of all other planets in the solar system combined.
I think the Earth can like fit in that hole.
Wow.
See, you didn't even know this.
Now I want to go to Jupiter. I wanted to go
to Jupiter and Mars.
Saturn to see the rings. What does the rings look like from the planet?
Right. Like, it's probably just like hazy clouds you can't see through.
Oh, that would be very anticlimactic.
It would be. I've seen Saturn through a telescope in Cocoa, Florida.
Oh. Is there like a public telescope or was this
no,
like you
it
had
was a,
connections?
It was a telescope night. Like everybody brought telescopes up to the little observatory thing they have up there. And we looked and you could see them. Clear as day.
So do you like own a telescope? Are you into space?
No, I have binoculars.
That's more than me. I have Google.
To watch birds.
I have my phone where you can put it up in the sky and you can see
oh,
what
I
you're
have
looking
that.
At.
A night sky?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's cool.
That is so cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So David, what do you do here around First Baptist Melbourne?
Well,
I don't think
I'm
anyone
their astronomer.
Knows.
Staff astronomer. No, I have had the joy of being the worship pastor at First Baptist Church of Melbourne, Florida for 20 years.
20 years.
Just had a big anniversary a couple months back in August. And yeah, 20 years of our life, longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life.
Wow. I just realized this is the not 20 years, but this Melbourne and Palm Bay is the longest I've ever lived somewhere in my life, too.
No way.
Way. I moved around a lot, though.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like, yes. So we, you know, came here and just planted our life, and the years just go by so quick. Yeah. They really do.
How long had you been doing, were you always a worship pastor?
Like, always.
Like... Like from graduating college, working professionally.
So I started actually being the music director.
Okay.
At a small Baptist church when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in high school and I had been the pianist at my church growing up since I was in third grade.
Okay.
But then when I was 16, I went to a little Baptist church. Neat story. Me and the interim pastor, they actually had an interim pastor at that point, were the only, everyone in the church was African American except the two of us.
That is interesting.
My first church.
Especially for that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, right. And so it was wonderful and rich, and they were so sweet. It was a little church. They probably had 80 people or so.
So what was your connection to this church?
They just needed somebody.
And you had the
they
skills.
They needed somebody. Right. They were looking for, you know, somebody who could play and direct.
Uh-huh.
And through my piano teacher, actually, got a connection there. And it was about 15 minutes from my home. And so went down there. And until I graduated from high school, that I went to my church, my family church, in the morning and continue to play for their early service.
Okay.
And then would run down here to this church and had a little choir of about 15 people, 14, okay. 15 people, and just a sweet little family of a church, and was there for, yeah, till I went to college.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you always, not always, but was there ever a point where you're like, this is what I want to do? Or did you just kind of slip into it because it's just what you'd been doing since third grade in terms of music and music ministry?
Yeah. So I've been playing in church my whole life. And you know, since I was a kid, loved church music. And my piano teacher, her husband was actually a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, kind of had just the church music connection. And that's how I, you know, use my gifts and that type thing. But it wasn't until I was 14 that our church called their first full-time minister of music.
Okay.
And his name was Bruce, and he lives in Ohio today still. And he came, and he was just right out of college.
So he was young.
But he was married and had a kid, had three more kids while we were there, while he was there. And so, but he was married, had a little child, was 23 probably years old or so. And he came to our church. So here I was 14, and he's 23. So he's more like a big brother,
yeah.
Right? You know,
I mean, he's not that much older.
Right, he's
older
not
than
old
you.
Like I am now, you know, like looking at, right. But
I didn't say he wasn't old. I just said he's not that much older.
He was, right. And so he came, and he really, we hit it off, and he took me under his wing because I think he saw a lot of himself. He played the piano beautifully, just stunningly, and sang and led worship from the piano. And I'd never seen that. And so he came and kind of took me under his arm, and because I think he saw a lot of himself as a kid in me. And there wasn't that big age difference. He was more like a big brother to me. But it was the first time in my life that I had seen, you can actually do this.
Yeah.
And yeah, have a family and work at the church and lead this.
Yeah.
Because before, though we weren't a small church, we just had a series of volunteers or part-time people. Like one did the choir and one did the orchestra and what, you know, and they did collectively, they put it together, but they didn't have the full-time kind of chief musician role. and until Bruce came. And then when he was there, that was the first time I really just saw the role built out for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then that summer, that my first summer with Bruce, I went to a youth camp with our denomination, which was not Baptist, by the way.
Wow.
That's another story.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. Can you imagine? And went to Oswego, New York.
Okay.
For a youth conference up there on
Did we establish where all this was? Where did you live at this time?
Oh, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, this was in actually southern Maryland.
Okay.
Right outside D.C., about 20 minutes from the White House.
Okay.
And so I was in Oswego, New York, and I'll never forget, the pastor was preaching. His name was Jim Custer.
Okay.
And I still remember his name. He was from Ohio. And at the end of the message, it was a message on really a call to service, call to ministry, kind of like that. And at the end, he said, you know, if you're willing to give God the reins and say, I'll do whatever you want, Lord,
mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to come down here. And he said, that's not saying, well, okay, I'll go to China, but Lord, I hate rice. Don't put conditions on it.
Yeah.
You know, we hear today, write the blank check and sign it, right? And let God fill it in. Same type thing. And he said, you know, if that's you, if you're willing to do whatever God wants and just let him take control of that, I want you to come down. And I went forward that night. And that was really kind of what I would call, you know, my call to ministry mm-hmm. for the first time. I mm-hmm. saw, I've been grown up in church, had these gifts as a kid, didn't know what I was going to do with them. What does mm-hmm. all this mean?
Yeah.
And then had a model
mm-hmm.
in a worship pastor, and then had a minister give a challenge
mm-hmm.
and say, what are you going to do with what you have? And so I think that was really drawing together all the cords that were kind of just loose in my life at that time
mm-hmm.
and pulling them together to say, whatever God wants is fine. And then at that point, things just got clearer once I said, okay, Lord. And then the paths to worship and music ministry and all that just became clearer.
So that was 14.
Yeah.
Then you became the music director at 16.
Yeah.
So what did you do? What was your next path out of high school for you?
Right. So
because you have a few degrees.
Yeah. Went to college at Liberty University.
Uh-huh.
Go Flames. And hey, they are undefeated. No, they don't play any teams, you know, but they are undefeated.
That's more than I can say for my school.
Isn't it the truth? They're 9-0. Way to go. And I mean, yeah, the team is so good. Auburn had to take our coach for them because Liberty's coach. Yes.
Hey, that's something.
Exactly. So anyway, went there and I did a degree in church music there. And while I was there, I served a church, Randolph Memorial Baptist Church. And so literally since – this is a weird thing. Scott and I were talking about this. Pastor Scott and I were talking about this a few months ago. Weird thing. Since I was 16 years old
mm-hmm. –
I have never not been employed by a church.
That is weird. As in, like, that's crazy.
It is. And he said, you mean like when you were at college, you didn't go to a college church? I said, I literally went to college and immediately was hired by a church to help and have just.
And even as early as 16.
It's just, I know. God's really been so faithful. And so the thought of like trying to decide where I would go to church has been an experience that I have never had to endure ever. I went with my parents, then I went to my friend, and
crazy.
I have always worked at a church ever since then. But yeah, served a couple small churches in college. And then I went to seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And did church music training there and ministry training, and served in a couple churches there during that time. One is a paid kind of an internship program as part of my studies, and then in another small Baptist church there. And then graduated and have served churches in North Carolina and Virginia prior to coming here 20 years ago.
Okay.
And so it's been a little bit of a journey, but you know, each church has its wonderful blessings and sweet people at each one.
At what point did you do your doctorate, and what is your doctorate in?
So I did my doctorate in worship leadership from New Orleans Seminary, and I completed that in 2010. So that's even been 13 years ago. But that was done here. I was going to say somewhere
recently then.
Yeah, it is more recent. Yeah. But that was done while I was here on staff.
Okay.
And just kind of felt the Lord just calling me back to that and just kind of a retweaking of my skill set and calling. And anyway, I had a great time there and did that. And did it actually on this church, First Baptist Melbourne, and did a project here with Pastor Larry, who was the pastor before Pastor Scott. Although Pastor Scott was here during that time on our staff team, but not as the lead pastor. And yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So obviously you grew up going to church. What was kind of, was your family supportive, I guess, of you doing music in church and that just being your life?
Yeah. You know, they were paying for all these piano lessons. I guess you might as well get something out of it.
Might as well get something from it.
Yes, at least. But no, my parents were always very supportive. You know, of course, you go to church. You love to see, just like you see your kid in a Christmas program at school, right? They just got to see it every Sunday.
Yeah.
And so they came and you know, just started as the early service pianist. Because nobody wants to do it that early, right? And so, well, we'll let the kid do it. So started as that.
Yeah,
and then,
I'm still a little like dumbfounded every time you tell this story that a third grader was the church pianist.
I know.
Can you imagine it now?
They were so hard up. This is how hard it, no. Well, we had three services back then. We had an 8:30 and a 9:45 and an 11 o'clock service.
We have three services now too.
I know. I'm thinking for most of my life, I've done three services.
That's wild.
It is. And yeah. So anyway, I played the first early service, and then I was the Sunday night church pianist for all those years as well. And so, you know, when I think back, I think that is kind of my roots at heart. I'm kind of just a church pianist.
Gotcha.
And then the Lord grew other gifts and leadership gifts and broadening of musical gifts out of that. Mm-hmm. But at my core, you know, I'm just a church pianist.
Gotcha. At what point did you work with orchestras before coming to First Baptist Melbourne?
So, as a kid, our church had an orchestra, and I was the orchestra pianist as well. So, I played in church orchestras.
You played in an orchestra context.
Yes, played in church orchestra context. And then in different settings, but I was never in a church that had a standing church orchestra.
Okay.
With not anything at all with such a rich history like First Baptist Melbourne has, that was started by Dr. Greg Bruton, who was the worship pastor here many years ago and then went to Southern Seminary as a professor. But he started, I think, in the late 80s.
Okay.
He actually started the worship orchestra here, and it's such a foundational bedrock of our worship experience and who we are, and attracts such wonderful musicians and players here. And so it's a joy to be able to stand in front of them every week and lead with them.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us a little bit about your family. You had more kids here. You have some kids who are now went to Liberty doing different things. How has it been raising and cultivating that?
So actually, none of our kids were born here.
No,
we brought all of our kids with us. But yeah,
I thought Emma was born here. No,
she was
okay.
not. Yeah.
So you had all three kids, then came to Melbourne.
Yes. We brought them all in tow. And yeah, crazy thing, our oldest one started kindergarten the week we moved here.
Okay.
And he's now out of college, and he's a violin teacher and a teacher in the public schools here in Brevard County. And then our middle one is a drummer, and he also went to Liberty, did a worship degree. And so he's following a little bit more my footsteps. Our older one followed a little bit more his mom's footsteps into music education. And he serves at a church in Tennessee. And then our youngest, she's graduating next month.
Hey,
yeah.
Exciting.
And so she's the only one still at the house, and she is graduating with an elementary ed degree. So she's going to be a teacher as well.
Nice.
So yeah, and then my wife has been a music educator. We met at Liberty. We met at college, though we didn't date in college. That's another whole story. But we got reunited, and it feels so good.
Wait, so you met in college, but you didn't date?
Met in college. We were in choir. We actually got back together on a college choir reunion.
Oh.
After college.
Okay.
Right?
Were y'all both still living in the same place?
No, we were in different states.
So you went long distance.
LD, when you actually had to pay for long distance phone calls.
Wow.
Exactly.
How long was that long distance until?
Well, let's see. The reunion was, I think, like in May or something, and then we got engaged in October and married the next June. So it all happened in less than a year, and nor did we even live in the same states.
Wow. That's crazy.
It is, yeah.
That was fast. That's a piece of your story I didn't know either. See, we're all learning so many new things.
I know it. Just keep asking questions.
What excites you about what's happening at First Baptist Melbourne and with Launch 10X and
sure.
all the things?
Well, it's incredible just to be a part of a church with a vision like that. And, you know, there are a lot of great, great churches out there, but a lot of churches lack vision and just a plan for kingdom work and, you know, mm-hmm. just living Sunday to Sunday and we're doing things and they're all for the glory of God, but having just that bigger picture, that bigger God-sized thing that we can't do on our own. And it's great to be part of a team that catches that vision and pushes that vision on out through our church. And so these are exciting days here and looking forward to just leading. And, you know, we all come here on Sunday mornings and I get the privilege to lead the worship. And that's kind of like where we all charge the battery, right? Mm-hmm. And then kind of that launch, the planes launching off the battleship, as we've used that analogy. This is where we come to refuel. This is where we charge up. And our corporate worship service is the foundational rock upon which we make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Gathered together in worship, united together under the teaching of our pastor mm-hmm. with the word of God, is literally the springboard mm-hmm. for all of this. And, you know, I get the joy just to help be a part of that on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, you know, one of the great things about just having kids who are musicians, we've got a violinist and a pianist and a singer mm-hmm. all with us, and has been not only to be in ministry as their dad is the worship pastor, you know, and their mom leads the kids' choirs, but
yeah.
to have them serve alongside us. And our culture has in many ways just embraced having our kids taken care of away from us. And there's, I understand some of the reasons why and all that. And I think the church as a whole has somewhat embraced that as well too. And we come in the doors of many, many churches and the family splits up at the front door.
It's not multi-generational.
And they all
yeah.
go different directions to different buildings, to different spaces. And they yeah. don't see each other the entire time they're at church and they come back together at the end. And so, you know, our church loves kids in worship. We still have all ministries for all of those kids, but the family dynamic here is to be in a service together and worship together. And I would push that even a step further, really, of just the joy that it's been, not only with my kids to see their dad and mom serving, but to serve with us, right?
Yeah.
And so our kids, from the time that they could play well enough, have been, you know, in the orchestra, on the platform, side by side, and just the joy of serving together as a family. And I would just say, if it's not music for you, that's fine. But whatever it is, maybe you're door greeters. Do it with your kids. Going on a mission trip, take your kids with you. Allowing your kids just to see you on mission,
mm-hmm.
they begin to realize this is what our family values.
Yeah.
And this is just who our family is and
yeah.
what we do. And now, you know, as I say, even we're getting a little further removed from that as our kids are all adults now. But,
yeah.
you know, our older son, he still plays in our orchestra. Our other son is at a church on the music staff.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter, she still serves, you know, in the choir. And so we're still now, even with our adult kids, able to serve together.
Yeah.
Even when they don't have to go to church anymore, they still come and are still plugged in together. So find a place where you and your family can flesh out, live on mission, and serve together as a family.
Yeah. I think it's cool too, because not only does it help connect the family and, like you said, provides that value, there's something disconnected about everyone going in their different direction. It's not this community fellowship type thing. So I think it's cool. And music provides a really cool opportunity for that.
Absolutely. It does. It does. But there's lots of other things, you know, that we have at church too that families can do together if You know, parents were always modeling, right? We're mm-hmm. always modeling. And so even as we're modeling young adults, and this is what our family does, and this is how we serve the Lord with our gifts.
Mm-hmm. What excites you about the future of ministry?
So, you know, I think the best days are ahead, that we're just on the precipice of seeing God just do incredible things. We see it every week anyway, but that we're going to be poised in a new way with just new resources and tools that we haven't had at our disposal before. And so that really definitely excites me. And then, you know, I've been here 20 years, been in full-time ministry 30 years, been doing a little longer than that to get down to the 16-year-old, but nevertheless.
We won't date you.
No, please. Yes. But, you know, I definitely see, I'm getting into the season of life now to where seeing others thrive and others succeed as part of the ministry team is really so rewarding for me, you know. And so, you know, I've been able to lead all the things and have the joy of that, but now equipping others to do it next to me and with me and alongside me and helping them is really such a joy. And you know, you've heard that before. We always need to be training those who are going to come up and follow us and take our place, because we never know what the Lord's going to do and where He's going to move His resources around His kingdom as His will desires. And so always trying to find the people who can lead in your stead and that you've trained them up well.
What advice would you have someone who feels a stirring in their life towards ministry and doesn't know what to do with that?
One, I think be open. Don't be closed off and put limitations on everything. God's a big God and He can do so much more than you can imagine Him doing. And so, and being open is one. Listening not only to the Spirit's voice in your life, but listening to the voice of trusted believers. Much of our calling is done, of course, by the Holy Spirit in our lives, but it's confirmed through the church, meaning the people of the church,
mm-hmm.
believers who say, hey, I see this in you, or, you know, you're so gifted at this, or God has anointed you in this way. And so the God uses the church to speak truth into you if you're listening for it.
Yeah.
And you take that in and say, Lord, what are you doing? Are you calling me to something? And then, so being open and then listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to what the church around you is saying, what people are speaking into your life, and then obey. And we can get stumped at any of these spots. We cannot be open. Lord, I'll do this, but
yeah.
But not here, not there, not now, not when.
Yeah.
Or we can not be listening to those around us and just be so arrow-focused. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And not listening to the voices. Or, of course, getting stopped at just disobedience, just not willing to do it.
Yeah. And this feels like the same question, but it's slightly not. What advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's feeling the call to make disciples?
So I think, you know, when we look at that one, making disciples is a bigger umbrella.
Yes.
And that we're, you know, called to do that. So if you're called to ministry, yes, part of that is going to be discipling. Now, discipling can be everything from a Bible study to literally teaching and training them to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of discipling, right? Or it can be, I've got two guys right now that we're literally in a text discipleship group. We're reading the same book. We're reading the same devotions. And we're like speaking into each other's lives a couple times a week on text. Like, hey, what did you get? I got this out of this. What did you get out
of this?
That's
great.
Hey, yeah. Did you read this book? And we're just like holding each other a little bit and walking just through the same journey and sharing with one another what God is saying to us in His Word. So it can be as simple as that, or as organized as a Bible study, or as intentional as training up future leaders. And we all, at different stages and different times, have a responsibility to disciple at one of those tiers.
Yeah.
Right? And with the busyness of life, maybe your tier is not a deep tier right now. Maybe it's just not a level you can go deep on. And yet at other moments in life when things are different, maybe God opens up or brings someone into your life that you have this window of opportunity to go really deep with them and pour into them for mm-hmm. the kingdom's sake. And they'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool too. Sometimes I overcomplicate what I think discipleship will look like. And so you just automatically
assume.
Have
to have a book and a 40-minute video. That, we have to have snacks. And
that, or you automatically assume that discipleship is in the deep tier. And you're like, well, I'm not going to be ready for that. But then when God has been faithful to bring people your way, I've always been like amazed. Like, oh, no, actually, I can help you with that. Because, wow, what a thing. God actually prepared and equipped me for that. So I think sometimes we overcomplicate.
Yeah. Or we think that something we're doing isn't enough
yes.
to be discipling. It's got to be more than this.
Yes.
And it's just taking part of your life and investing it in someone else's life for the kingdom's sake.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can just happen on so many different levels and in so many different ways. I think the main thing is, the question that comes up is, are you pouring in to anyone?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer to that's no, you're probably not discipling in any way.
Yeah. Okay. So now here is your open forum, open mic. Is there anything else you would like to share with the Mission Control listeners?
This sure. is the wrap up.
This is the wrap up.
Oh, this is not even. Okay.
You're doing great, David.
What is this?
I don't usually prompt it that way, but for okay. you, I'm going to prompt it that
okay.
way.
Okay. Like that. Jupiter is 5 times bigger than all the other
Jupiter
planets
combined.
Jupiter
is the biggest planet in the, I mean, that was something I'm walking away with today.
Well, I would just say, as we think about being on mission, is that one, just I've been spent my whole life in service to the King and have not regretted a moment of it. And if he's calling you to do anything and you will obey, you will never, never regret it. And the people who you touch will never regret it either. You may never hear it, and it doesn't matter. But one day, the goal would certainly be to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There'd be myriads of people there that have said, "You touched my life in a special way."
Yeah.
And it's all about people, you know? It's all about people and loving yeah. people well.
Like even just going back to, I forgot his name, the first music minister that came to your church.
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce. I thought it was Bruce.
Bruce, yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with Bruce?
You know, every few years or whatever, we'll touch base briefly. But he's actually a pastor now. He's a lead pastor.
Ah.
Yeah, in Ohio. Cool thing, his kids similarly grew up working and serving together with mom and dad in the ministry, and now they're all in ministry too. They're
wow.
all working and serving, a couple of them even at his church. And so a similar model there.
Yeah, because without Bruce, now obviously God's going to use whoever uses, but it just takes the faithfulness of pouring into the next generation down, discipling.
Absolutely, and we weren't even that far apart in age, and this was his first job out of college.
Yeah.
Right? So what did he even – he's trying to figure out even how to do this, but I didn't know that. I thought
yeah.
he was awesome.
And
yeah. he's trying to figure out how to do this, but yet even as a 23-year-old right out of college, coming to his first job – the first thing he did was take a 14-year-old kid and say, "God's going to do something with you."
Yeah.
I can see it already.
Yeah.
And I want to be part of it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Thankful for Bruce.
Thankful for Bruce, too. Well, and I'm thankful for you. Thanks for coming and joining us on Mission Control.
Absolutely. This was fun.
I'm good. I'm glad.
I think these things are awesome.
Oh, good.
By the way, just give you a little plug.
A little personal endorsement.
A little personal plug.
I always appreciate them.
Sometimes I pop you a text. These have been so great. I love them. I've listened to, I think, almost every one of them.
Oh, nice. They've been a highlight of my year as well. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Next time in Mission Control, we have Mike Griffin joining us. Mike is the newest member to the ministerial team here at First Baptist Melbourne, and I'm thrilled that we are able to give him a chance to come onto this podcast. He has an incredible story to share of how God has used him in the Middle East, and I can't wait for you to have the opportunity to hear about his heart for the nations. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.